Welcome to another C3 Church Rockingham podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au.
Really loving coming into the empowerment service to give some downloads regarding leadership, and I want to go again tonight. Is that okay? And so if you want to get your Bible ready, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 18 to get started, or you can just watch on the screen. And tonight I'm going to deal with the subject, leadership is up to you, actually with developing you, the leader. And I know that when I use that word, some people go, oh, not leadership stuff again. But what you're going to discover is it's a spiritual thing. It's got its foundations in the very beginnings of the Bible. And in life, everything rises or falls on leadership. Scripture says that a nation will rejoice when the righteous are in authority. And if you got any of this morning's message, one of the key things that God is going to do in these last days is he's not going to try and change the planet from the bottom up. There's nothing wrong with what we do on the ground in helping out people and giving them a hand up in life, but you're not going to change the world environment from the bottom up. You've got to change it from the top down. You've got to change it from those in authority, those that rule over regions, those that rule with finances. We're going to see Christians like never before rise up into the high places in government and begin to disperse the influence of the gospel in that way. We'll do it with cunningness and with wisdom. And tonight I want to look at this whole deal. And before you tell yourself you know what it means to be a leader, can I get you to reflect on this from John C. Maxwell on leadership? He said, knowing how to do a job is the accomplishment of labor. Showing others is the accomplishment of a teacher. Making sure that the work is done by others is the accomplishment of a manager. Inspiring others to do better work is the accomplishment of a leader. We've got to put things into the right context. In Exodus chapter 18, we're going to start at verse 18 and read all the way down to verse 21. Oh, it's a long way, really, isn't it? Three verses. But you'll remember the backdrop of the story, or maybe you don't, so I'll help you with it, that Moses is now the pastor of approximately 3 million people, and he is working from early in the morning till late at night, handling all of the things that he needs to do in leading those children of Israel. And he has a visit from the father-in-law. And Jethro comes to have a meeting with him. He observes what's going on. He probably sees that there's a fair bit of stress on the marriage, a fair bit of stress on the family. And Jethro says to him, hey, can I just share some things with me? They might help you. And so that's where we're going to pick it up. You're going to wear yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. I reckon there's a whole bunch of us in the room tonight that have jobs that we've been trying to do, on our own, and we need to realize that our team is the most important thing. There's a whole bunch of us here tonight that own businesses, and you're so busy working in the business that you're not getting enough time to work on the business. There's a whole bunch of us here tonight involved in ministry, and we're so busy working in the ministry that we never get time to do our primary role, which is to work on the ministry, to lead it, to cast vision, to make decisions, to look into the future. Are you with me? What verse was I up to? Now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice. And may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. Teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. So we see right back in the times of Moses that God brought wisdom into Moses' life. It didn't matter that he was the leader over the nation. It didn't matter that he was the man of God in that hour. He was able to hear some wisdom and some advice from his father-in-law, Jethro, I want to talk to you tonight about having the ability to develop yourself for the long term. One of the saddest things is when a person gets to a place in life where they think they know it all. Because the moment you think you know it all, you stop learning. The moment you think you get to the place where you got it so sharp and you got it so on lock that you don't need to expand any further and get some more advice, then you're going to start to die slowly on the inside concerning your industry, the call of God upon you for the marketplace. I want to remind you tonight that we're talking about marketplace placement. I'm trying to take out of the context tonight, Christian place context, ministry context. Is that okay? So in this church environment, in here, in this church, we have a culture of leadership that recognizes five levels of leadership. Like you see five levels of leadership here. You see that Moses was told, appoint guys that will lead 1,000, 100, 500, 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. That's four levels, right? Plus Moses' leadership oversight over the whole lot, there's five levels of leadership. It's very similar to what we recognize here in church life, that when you're a leader, you could be a leader tonight, but maybe you're thinking you're a leader with a higher acumen of leadership than you really have. And the acumen of leadership is determined by the weight that you're carrying. And so at level one, we have this pragmatic kind of leadership, this doing style of leadership. A pragmatic leader, level one leader, is the typical bricky leading his two guys, putting bricks up, building houses. Go to level two. A level two leader is a supervisory leader, and he's now got two or three teams of brickies running around putting bricks up. It could be bricks, it could be plumbers, it could be paramedics, it could be anything. You're leading teams of people at the supervisory level. Supervisory level isn't just getting that brickies team to a place where you can show up, tell them a job, go off and have coffee all day. Multiplication of teams. So when you go to level three level of leadership, you're looking at systemic leaders. They're looking after systems. Generally speaking, it's groups of 50 people and more. And the pressure that comes in that moment, the complexity that comes at that shift, the shift between level two and level three, that shift is a very complex shift. It's the first one of a few that you're going to face if you're going to climb up in your leadership acumen. When you're starting to look after the salaries and the working hours and the job sheets for 50 or more people, you've got to have systems in place and you've got to manage those systems so that you can be sharp in every area so that you don't get 15 employees coming to you at the end of the fortnight and say, hey dude, you've mucked up my pay. So you've got the record processes in place, you've got the systems in place, you've got the accountability structures in place, you've got systems in place that help you carry the leadership load. For those taking notes, you'll understand the acronym for systems is so they save you time, energy, money, and stress. Systems save you time, energy, money, and stress. Your respiratory system is an efficient system for your body. Your circulatory system is an efficient system for your body. Are you with me? So when we talk about leadership, the fourth level of leadership is strategic leadership, and you know how to handle strategy. You've got a plan that's based around your priorities and you're working that plan. And when you have strategic leadership in place, you'll know that you've got a strategy in place in leadership for your marketplace role because you have at least a 3-year plan. 3 years. It used to be five, but it's now three. You have a 3-year plan and you're adjusting it every 6 months, I think. What do you reckon, Dave? About every 6 months, I would say you're adjusting it because of the changing environment that we live in. And then finally, level five leadership is visionary leadership. And visionary leadership, you know that you're carrying the load and the weight of visionary leadership because you have at least a 20-year plan. I would say that most visionary leadership needs to go to the place where we have a 100-year plan. You have a plan that goes beyond your lifestyle, beyond your lifespan, and beyond the lifespan of the next generation so that what's happening can actually stay true to the heavenly call of God. If you have a look at what God laid out in foundations, he had plans that were thousands of years ahead, and it just got passed down from one generation to the next. Are you with me? So when we say leadership, we're talking about a leadership that has the ability to grow and expand and make a difference. Ian Jagelman actually talks about those five levels of leadership in his book, The L Factor. It's interesting that Bruce Larson, in his book, Wind and Fire, points out an interesting fact about the sandhill cranes. Have you ever looked at the sandhill cranes? The sandhill cranes are large birds who fly great distances across continents, but they have three remarkable qualities about them that is observed in the book. Number one, the first quality is that they rotate leadership. No one bird stays out in front all the time. You'll notice over the last 5 to 7 years, this church has developed the kind of leadership where we can just tag in others. I'm so glad that when I get here on a Sunday night, I'm not the guy landing worship, introducing notices, pulling the offering, and then preaching. I'm so glad about that. I'm so glad nowadays. We just recently went on 3 weeks holiday, and the greatest compliment we get was, "Pastors, we did miss you, but it was like you were still there. There was no gaps. The quality of ministry was good. In fact, it was probably better than when you're here. The salvations were good. The connection was good." And for us, that's the greatest compliment, because we're trying to build something that goes beyond one generation. That there's no longer one-man bands. Well, there are one-man bands around the place, and if you want to go worship there, go worship there. But you'll find it's very difficult. Hello? It's very difficult to get to a place where there's this culture of multiplication of gifts and callings of God, because the mindset of leadership is not there at the extent that it needs to be there. Are you getting something tonight? The first quality of the sandhill crane is that they rotate leadership. The second one is that they choose leaders who can handle turbulence. They choose leaders who can handle turbulence. It's interesting. The third and final quality of the sandhill cranes is that all during the time one bird is leading, the rest are honking their affirmation. Wow. Oh my, no, I'm not going to try and honk. But think about that. No one leader leads all the time. They select leaders that can handle turbulence. So I think in today's times, we need, like never before, we need leaders who can handle turbulence. It's very easy to be the captain of the ship when the weather is fine. But who are the captains that are going to lead and stay at the helm during rough waters and storms? Hello, somebody. When things get tight, who is the leader that's going to step up to the plate and say, "I've already got a plan for this, we're going to get through"? We've got to be leaders that can handle turbulence in the marketplace. In everything that we're doing, we've got to be the kind of leaders that are, you know, my son was sharing with me some thoughts about what happens when you put three different items into hot water. And I hope I can remember, because I'm out there on the edge right now. But one of them's an egg, the other one's a potato, and the other one's a coffee bean. An egg, when it goes into hot water, is soft on the inside, hard on the outside. When it goes into the water, it becomes hard on the inside. Potato that's firm and tough, when it goes into the water, becomes soft. And it's like some people, they get soft in tough environments. It's like other people, the egg, you know, you were soft before, but now you've gone through a hard time, you're all hard on the inside also. But look at the coffee bean. What happens to a coffee bean when you put it into the water? It affects the environment. It just kind of takes on the whole deal and says, "I'm going to influence this environment." We're going to be coffee beans, not potatoes. Please don't be an egg. We've got to be the kind of people that will, our spirit, our character, our attitude is infused through the heat of the environment, and we actually change the environment instead of allowing the environment to change us. Hello, somebody. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Not bad, Craney. Yeah, good on you, Craney. I heard someone bragging about you tonight. I was going to kind of compliment that, but I'm holding back now. It's because of my insecurity. So can I give you three keys that actually... I began to share at Connect Group earlier this week with the guys, three keys to sustainable personal development. I think this will really help you. I think we've got to know how to sustain our own personal development. We're talking about developing the leader within you and developing you the leader. You've got to know there's some things that you need to kind of get on lock. You need to get set in concrete. These are going to be my principles for life. And I want to give you three principles here. Number one, a coach. Number two, a confidant. And number three, a couple. We'll get to the couple. It may seem strange, but we'll get there. It'll be okay. Number one, a coach. Mike Tyson, when he was at the top of his career, had a coach. The golfer, Tiger Woods, most famous, most successful guy at the top of his game before he did all the crazy stuff, or before we found out about all the crazy stuff he'd been doing for years, whatever. in his game, he had a coach. The most outstanding AFL player you can think of right now plays under a coach. All of us in life play better, perform better, get greater results under a coach. Often we don't engage a coach because we think we've got it all on lock, but we haven't got it on lock. Every single one of us will improve every area of our life with a coach. In the marketplace, it becomes more and more difficult to get one that you can trust and that will really give you your best. But I encourage you to find men of God, women of God, who will coach you in the thing that you're called to do in the marketplace, in the spiritual gift that's upon your life, in the specialist kingly anointing that's upon your life, because you need to know that a coach will help you to set those goals you really need to set. You've been thinking about it, but you need to set the next level. He'll help you keep you accountable to those goals. He'll give you honest feedback. The reason you engage a coach is because you want honest feedback. When it gets to this leadership anointing, this kingly anointing, we are not so soft-skinned that all we want is positive feedback. I have never learned much at all from positive feedback. It helps me little. Sure, our human nature and our ego, give you an acronym for ego, edging God out. Our ego gets rubbed and we feel better about ourselves, but it really doesn't help us go to the next level. Honest feedback does. Hey, everything you said this morning was good, Claude, but you maybe just need to drop that, that, and that. Maybe you need to bring it from a different angle. A coach will help you. Everybody say a coach. I think a coach is also very powerful because they help maximize results for effort. Number two, a confidant. Everybody say a confidant. These are pretty hard to find. Us guys are really nervous about this whole thought of confidant. But let me tell you, you need to find someone you can talk to about everything without fear, judgment, concern that they might spill the beans in the wrong environment or to anyone, and that that may affect your current role. Let me tell you what a confidant is not. A confidant is not an individual who you share confidential things with, and then they go and tell just their spouse. Or they get on the side and say, you know, you're not supposed to know this, but I just need someone that can pray with me for this situation about Wang. That's not a confidant. That's a blabbermouth. That's a person that tells tales. But when you find a confidant, let me tell you, all of us will do better in life if we find a confidant. We are told that we are only as sick as our secrets. Finish this statement for me. A problem shared is a problem. It's amazing how differently you see things once you've talked it out. It's amazing. I can think about certain things for a period of time and go, yeah, that all seems like rational. And then you speak it out and you go, ooh, it's not that rational. Obviously, a confidant is a place where you can halve your problems by just sharing it, but it's also a place where you can get to a point of ensuring that your thinking is rational, not irrational. Hello, somebody. This is good, isn't it? Obviously, the confidant is the person that will be able to give you advice. Let's go back to the coach for a moment, because I think these two issues are connected. Wherever possible, especially if you know that you're called to have great influence, choose your coach wisely. Your coach needs to be an expert. An expert, by definition, if we use marketplace standards, is someone who has practiced for 10,000 hours. They're pretty hard to find. In the marketplace, you're looking for someone who's a statesman. They've completed 10,000 hours of training. In other words, they've committed to be learners in that field, trained in that field, coached in that field for 10,000 hours. Let me tell you that Pastor Michelle Jean Louis, when she comes here, She's a CPA. Doesn't mean a lot in Australian terms, but I want to tell you where she comes from. It means a lot. For 5 years running, her financial report given for the company that she is the CPA for, which is one of the largest in South Africa, dealing with the billions of dollars. For 5 years running, she has won the African Award for that kind of report. For 5 years running. When I asked her, why do you think that is? This was her reply. Pastor, I've done my 10,000 hours. I encourage you, when you're looking for a coach, find someone that's an expert in their field. I know in today's environment, we've all gone for online coaching and we've become experts via YouTube and Google. Trust me, Pastor, I know what I'm doing. I've watched a lot of YouTube. If you think that works, good for you. When it comes to a confidant, also choose your confidant wisely. I've always tested my confidants. Throw out a bit of bait and see what they do with it. Give them a furphy and see if they handle it. I'm testing confidants around about me. I want my team to be great confidants. And so sometimes they say, hey, just need to tell you something, but it's just for your information only. And I try and make it as spicy as possible. Or I try and put as much strawberry and cream on top, as just make it as delicious as possible to the senses. But I say, it's just for your information only. It's amazing how some of that stuff comes back and I only let it out through one source. Sneaky, huh? We've got to develop a culture of trust. Come on, help me. Forgive me, I set you up, but it was for your good. Hello. We need a coach, we need a confidant, and then we need a couple. We need a couple of people that we're being a coach and a confidant for. We need someone to pour into. You know what happens when you start being a coach for somebody else? You start appreciating your coach a whole lot more. I can remember when I first started being overseen, which is really a coaching role for my overseer many years ago, and I used to get ticked off with him because I didn't really have a relationship with him. He's telling me to do all this stuff. I'm like, what do you know? And I carried that attitude for a few years until one day I was asked to be a coach. And then I start helping this person. Oh, I so love my coach. This is hard work. So the first thing that will happen when you find someone else to be a coach for is you'll start to appreciate your coach even more. I have a rule with the guys that I oversee is that I ring you once a month, you ring me once a month. That's for the guys that are just getting started and don't like me, don't have a relationship. But once I get down the track, I go, hey, if you want to call, call me. So coaching others helps you appreciate your own coach even more, helps you appreciate how difficult it is to actually help others go to a new level in life. But you know what? Being a confidant for somebody else also helps you give back to the younger generation. And as you give back to the young, you know what happens? You stay young. Some of us have got old because we've forgotten about the young. But if you will pour your life into the younger generation, they will keep you young. And actually, you'll find that the most classic, the most powerful thing that happens out of this whole process of finding a couple of people, don't find one. Because if you find one person to help, one person to coach, one person to be a confidant to, all you're doing is giving back what you've already received. But if you find a couple, you're kicking in the multiplication process. Hello, somebody. And here's the deal. He who teaches learns the most. He who teaches learns the most. If you want to learn, I know I can hear voices again, but here's the deal. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. If you can find it, we'll pop it up on the screen. It's not in the notes. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Paul speaking to his trainee pastor, the one he's mentoring, his spiritual son, he's raising him up. He writes to Paul. Paul writes to Timothy and says, Timothy, are these teachings that you've heard from me, pass them on to other faithful men who will be able to teach others, who can then pass it on to others. What are you saying? You know what, Chris, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. these teachings that you've heard here, just take those exact same teachings and pass them on to faithful men who will be able to teach others. And right there, you hear in the heart of Paul, he wants to reach four generations. Paul's the first generation. Timothy's the second generation. He says, pass them on to other faithful men who will then teach them on to other faithful men. He wants the multiplication principle to keep rolling out. I want to tell you that if you're going to have a sustainable life development goal, somebody asked me recently because I said, you know, we've got to have a life goal. Got to have a vision for our life. You've got to have a vision for your marriage. You've got to have a vision for your family. And it's got to go beyond just getting the kids through school. Most of us make our greatest mistakes during life transitions. And the one thing that will keep you on track is your life vision. You've got to have a life vision to get to 95. After that, just party hard the whole time, I reckon. Just enjoy. Just bookend your life with partying. Get out on the dance floor. Do what you want. Let me bring it back to this. Tonight, you identified yourself as a leader. But where did you identify your level of leadership? What level of leadership acumen are you carrying right now? Are you carrying the leadership acumen that you need for the responsibilities that you currently have? Maybe you're at a job where you should be at the systemic level and you should be managing those systems and fine-tuning, not just complaining about the system. Put the spirit in the system. Put the character in the system. Make the adjustments, solve the problems, get the system tweaked to the place where your manager comes to you and goes, oh my gosh, this has never worked before. What have you done? And now it's working. Now it's all like a well-oiled machine. He's going to come to you and say, hey, I'd love to bring you into one of our strategy meetings we're having next month with all the managers from around the state, around the nation, because people who solve problems get promotions. Oh, hello. People who solve problems get promotions. You've got to be a coach. If you're going to have a sustainable personal development plan, you've got to be a coach. We've got to learn the detail of what it means to be a confidant. And if we're going to keep this culture of multiplication going on concerning leadership in the marketplace, influence in the marketplace, then we've got to start reaching down to the young generation and helping them up. Hello, somebody. We've got to coach others. I have found it outstanding that when I go into other environments to help other people and coach them in their craft, coach them in their skill, a subject that I think I know a lot about, I learn a whole bunch more. Because he who teaches learns the most. Can I pray for you? Father, I want to thank you tonight that as we've received this empowerment from you so that we can live life at a new level. God, as we come towards the end, one more weekend of hearing what it is to make a difference and have an influence in the marketplace. God, I'm thinking about next Sunday morning as Pastor Richard comes and tells us how to be bivocational and make it in the marketplace as a Christian and get pragmatic with how to do that. I'm thinking about next Sunday night where we hear three different young generation voices telling us how they're going to do it in the marketplace. God, I pray that we would be the kind of people that would draw like sponges everything that's being poured out, that God, we'd know what to hold on for ourselves and we'd know what to let through. God, in remembering, Father, those three different elements that went into the hot water, God, we don't want to be eggs that were once soft and sensitive in life, become hard on the inside. We don't want to be potatoes that were once tough enough to handle some knocks that now we've become soft and we fall apart. God, we want to be like the coffee bean. We want to begin to affect the environment. When the heat gets turned up, our true nature comes out and we infect the environment around about us. Thank you, Father, for great espressos. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to preach a whole message on coffee, I reckon. I can get a whole lot out of it. I could get a really good extraction on that bean. Here's some common myths about leadership. Leadership is lonely is myth number one. Leadership is only lonely because we choose to be lonely. There is an element of leadership that is lonely if you're an eagle. You never find eagles settling down with seagulls. Myth number two, it's hard to soar like an eagle when you're surrounded by turkeys. No, it's not. It's a whole lot easier. You stand out really easy. Actually, I'm not trying to be cute, not trying to be smart. Today, in today's environment, it's never been easier to shine like a leader. Because there's so many people trying to take the easy road. So, like in the church and in the marketplace, it's never been easier. Currently, the current standard, the current stats are that key leadership roles in business, in the marketplace, in profession, last 18 months. If you come into a place of employment with leadership in place, the average is 18 months for turnover. You want to go to the top in that company? Just shine hard for 2 years straight. You're moving up the ladder, possibly quicker. But we must realize that in God, we don't carry a leadership definition that says leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. We carry a leadership definition that says leadership is responsibility. And therefore, our greatest commitments are to our values. Come on, help me. Our values, our integrity, and our vision. And our vision, make the world a better place. I'm not pitching a Miss World speech, but, and I'm not going to add world peace to it at all. But we're here to make the world a better place. I have taken my hat off a number of times to the agnostic Mr. Bolt, who is flying the flag for believers across this nation. Thank God for, what's his first name? Andrew Bolt. I mean, thank God he is starting to uncover the wickedness of the ABC news reporting system and what it's been saying that is absolute lies. And he's turning it all around as an agnostic. He's standing up and saying, why are the ABC freely persecuting the Christians and lying about the Christians? And I'm watching this week a number of times and I'm going, oh my goodness, where are the men of God in the marketplace that have the internal fortitude to stand up and say something? God can't find a believer, so he's using an agnostic. It's time for us to rise. It's time for us to move into government. It's time for us to really move into business. It's time for us to not talk about having money and think about having money, but actually to have some stuff. Stop having a goal to be a millionaire. That's such a small goal. Don't even have a goal to be a multi-millionaire. Don't tell me you got faith. I got faith to be a multi-millionaire. No, you're just getting started, dude. That's milk. Come talk to me if your first goal is half a billion. Like, seriously. You want to solve some problems. I mean, that just made some of you choke right there, but seriously. There are some young generation, there's some millennials in the room. You'll create and solve a problem through an app or through an online gig, and you'll go into the half billion zone really, 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 really quickly. Before you get there, you've got to have a life plan. You've got to have your vision, your values set, your vision set, so that when it comes in, you've already ruled off and said, I don't need more than half a million a year for me and my family. We're going to live pretty comfortable in half a million a year. Everything else is going to go into this. We're going to do this. I'm in close relationship with two guys that lead an organization that help the poor and relieve poverty. Their funding budget is well over $35 million a year, I think, and they have funding for the next 100 years straight. I want to get in their lives. I want to learn how to do that kind of stuff. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Yeah, let's go there. We finished fairly early. Wow, I've got 7 minutes up my sleeve. I wanted to give you time to digest some things as we worship. And then I'll do a couple of calls just at the end. Is that okay? Let's go there. Most important thing you need to do in the marketplace as a leader is keep the man of God hat on. Keep the woman of God hat on. Don't think because you've got the role now, you don't need to pray about it. Every time I had a significant marketplace role, I would go in every morning early, walk around that property and pray and prophesy over it. You should be doing the same. Praying over the office space, the classroom, the work site, praying over the equipment. Come on, you're the man of God, you're the woman of God.
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.